Hello, and welcome to a SearchBusinessAnalytics.com podcast. I'm Craig Stedman, the site editor of SearchBusinessAnalytics.com, and I'm speaking today with independent consultant Phil Simon about the potential benefits and challenges of using cloud-based data warehouses and business intelligence tools. First, a brief introduction of our speaker. Phil began doing systems implementation work in 1998 and has been a full-time consultant for the past 10 years. During that time, he has cultivated more than 40 clients in a variety of industries, including healthcare, manufacturing, retail, education, telecommunications, and the public sector. Phil also is the author of two books, Why New Systems Fail and The Next Wave of Technologies, which was just published in March by John Wiley & Sons. And he's an expert contributor to both SearchBusinessAnalytics.com and our sister site, SearchDataManagement.com. Welcome to the virtual podcast studio, Phil.
Thanks for having me, Craig.
All right, well, let's get to the questions. So right off the bat, are there any misperceptions or myths about data warehousing, BI, and the cloud that you'd like to clear up?
Absolutely. Three, really. First, bad data is still bad data. Putting data in a proper data warehouse or in the cloud or both does not sort of magically purify it. Clouds can certainly help people access information and distribute data. And to some extent, perhaps errors in bad data will now be easier to identify since more people can see it. But again, if it's bad on the ground, then it's bad in the cloud. Second, many seasoned observers of the industry really don't look at the cloud versus on-premise argument necessarily as sort of an either-or decision. Organizations, I would argue, should try to take advantage of the benefits that each strategy has to offer. So in layman's terms, think of something like, say, Google Documents versus Microsoft Office. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the sharing and portability of Google Docs, for example, but you can't tell me that the Google spreadsheet tool is nearly as powerful as, say, something like Microsoft Excel. And I think that it's important to realize that it's not sort of this either-or type of situation. The third misconception I'd like to clear up is that it's not as if the move towards cloud computing has really been the only technological advance with respect to business intelligence and data warehousing in the last 10 years. I mentioned many new technologies in my second book, but for example, consider in-memory business intelligence, which significantly reduces the resources required on a computer or handheld device to sort of churn data. If you look at Microsoft's new in-memory engine, PowerPivot, it's an example of a technology specifically built for that purpose. So it's not like it's clouds or nothing. There have been a lot of advents with regard to BI and data warehousing.
Well, so where do things stand with cloud-based data warehouses and software as a service BI tools on functionality and maturity, particularly in comparison with traditional on-premise software?
Well, I want to be careful here because there are just way too many vendors, too many releases, and too many products for me to generalize. And I'd be lying if I claimed to have used even the majority of BI tools out there. There really just are so many. But with that disclaimer out of the way, I would like to say a few things based on my experience. And I can say these things really comfortably. First, there are sort of these more mature BI and data warehousing products from companies such as Microsoft, SAP, Oracle, and IBM. And those are really still evolving towards the clouds. Some of this is based on the rewriting of the applications for the cloud, and some is probably based on the fact that these companies acquired vendors, and they're still in the process of sort of integrating those new product offerings with existing ones. A perfect example would be when IBM acquired Cognos. But the bottom line I'd say is this. It's really unlikely that cloud-based versions of sort of traditional BI and data warehousing apps can do everything in the cloud that they can do in the ground, at least right now. It goes back to my point from the first question about not necessarily having to choose one or the other. The other sort of second generalization that I can make is that, in a way, the newer offerings are arguably, in my opinion, more cloud-ready. In other words, they were never really written for sort of a traditional client-server desktop orientation. They are and really always have been sort of native cloud-oriented apps, but understand, however, that they may in some ways represent greater implementation challenges. I'm unaware, for example, of too many BI or data warehousing apps that can immediately and seamlessly connect to all these disparate data sources and churn out meaningful KPIs or key performance indicators. Now, are these cloud-based offerings as robust and or as expensive as the more mature counterparts? You know, probably not, but there are trade-offs involved that I think organizations need to take into account when making a purchasing decision.
Well, that kind of leads right into the next question, which is, are cloud-based BI technologies ready for widespread use, or are there still limits to the kind of BI applications that they're best suited for, or the number of end users that they can support?
It's a great question, and again, at the risk of coming across as evasive, I'd say that the answer really does depend on the vendor. If you consider Microsoft, for example, clearly the company was slow to embrace cloud computing in general and for BI specifically. Well, if you do any of the reading now, Ballmer clearly has cloud religion, and Microsoft is absolutely moving its BI platform into the cloud, but it's doing it a little at a time. As for the number of concurrent end users, I'm personally unaware of any sort of hard limitations for specific apps, but again, there are just so many apps out there that, you know, if you wanted to add 25,000 to a BI tool, I don't know if a tool can necessarily support that. But I think it's important, Craig, to remember that speed is really not just a function of how many people are using a BI tool at any given time. I think that you have to look at the amount of data, the amount of compute power offered by the vendor, or certainly by the device that you're using. You're probably going to get more power out of a laptop than you would out of a BlackBerry, and the difficulty of calculating the KPIs and other factors. So it isn't just a matter, in my opinion, of supporting concurrent users. There are other factors at play.
All right. Well, what are some of the potential benefits of cloud-based data warehousing and SaaS BI for companies?
I think there are quite a few, and I'm really excited about them. First, we live in a very challenging economy, and from a cost perspective, I'd argue that there are quite a few benefits. So traditional on-premise BI licenses and deployments were generally pretty costly. I started working with enterprise BI tools back in the late 1990s, and they were costly, they were time-consuming, and ultimately, if you look at the statistics, and certainly from personal experience, Craig, they were in some cases disappointing. With what some people call non-premise or cloud-based BI, you really can be up and running in a shorter period of time, and your total cost of ownership may be less. So, for example, if it costs, say, $400,000 to purchase a traditional BI license, that's a lot of money. With a SaaS-based or cloud-based solution, you may be able to be up for, say, $10,000 a month. So to that extent, an organization can get away from a quote-unquote bad project a lot easier. Less money has been invested. And then finally, from an accounting perspective, on-premise purchases that we saw a lot in the 1990s and early 2000s were typically classified as capital expenses, and that required a great deal of approval. Well, not many big IT projects are getting approved these days with the economy the way that it is. So if you consider clouds, the way it's constructed from sort of a financial perspective, the non-premise deployments or the cloud deployments can often be considered operational expenses. And as a general rule, those are a lot easier for people to stomach. So from a financial perspective, I think that there are major benefits, and obviously being able to hit the clouds from our BI information or data warehouses from an iPad or an iPhone or a BlackBerry, I think the benefits are pretty obvious.
Well, on the flip side, what about some common hurdles that organizations can face in adopting these technologies?
Sure. I mean, there are, I think, the different challenges by organizations, and I would break it into, say, five or six different factors. You know, first, are we talking about what I call a greenfield or a brownfield site? And by greenfield, I mean they have nothing, and this is the first deployment, so people are probably going to be happy to have something. If it's a brownfield or sort of scorched earth site, they may have gone through a project before, and there may be bad experiences, or there may be sort of internal issues, culture, politics, things like that. In my experience, people tend to do a lot better if it's a kind of greenfield environment. I think the second hurdle is really the amount of integration involved. For example, if you look at Oracle's BI tools, they're more easily going to talk to native Oracle applications, tables, and data, much more so than, say, a third-party app that would need interfaces or APIs to be written. I think another common hurdle is the expectations. You know, what do people expect out of this? Is it just going to be better access to information, or did they sort of buy into the vendor's sales promises and think that this is going to completely transform their business? Another factor, I think, is the current tools. You know, a lot of people use what I would argue is the most pervasive BI tool out there, Microsoft Excel, and there are some people who are just very comfortable with that. Some people don't want to get out of their comfort zones, but if they don't have a current tool that is better than that, then of course they're going to have to use something more limited. So the number of tools out there, I think, is important. You don't want it to be overwhelming. If you give people 10 BI tools, what are the odds that they're going to pick the right one? But sometimes people, I think, get confused that they aren't sure about which ones to use. I mentioned before vendor promises. And the other thing that I think is often underrated. It's just data quality, as I said in one of your first questions. Simply putting everything in a data warehouse or, you know, using a BI tool does not circumvent legitimate data quality issues. So if an organization doesn't really have a great deal of that or doesn't have a culture that embraces data governance, then congratulations, you have better access to bad data. And I'd argue that's not a good thing.
All right. There's also the issue of sending data outside the firewall. So in working with your clients, do you see any continuing reluctance to put full data warehouses in the cloud? And if so, are there good reasons for that reluctance?
Oh, there certainly are reasons for this reluctance. It's just one example for organizations that were sort of early or maybe not terribly late to the BI game. Well, let's say they dropped a lot of money on sort of a traditional BI tool 5 years ago. You know, they probably don't have the money to undertake a cloud-based BI or data warehousing initiative right now, particularly with the economy. And that's even if the sort of long-term cost savings or benefits with regard to the data could be substantial. So again, cost is a factor, but that's not it exclusively. Cloud-based business intelligence and data warehousing, I would argue, is still part of the left-hand side of the technology adoption lifecycle. Many organizations are not early adopters, and they're still reluctant, not just with clouds and BI and data warehousing, but also with regard to open source, software as a service, and some of the other emerging technologies discussed in my second book. Third, and this is kind of the elephant in the room, I think security is still a very legitimate concern. And if you look at recent surveys among IT professionals, that tends to pop up at the top of the list around cloud-based initiatives, whether it's business intelligence or data warehousing or whatever. Finally, and this is really, I think, a remnant of sort of the early years of business intelligence, many BI projects really failed to achieve their desired results. I've read statistics about, say, 70% of BI projects disappointing end users and management. So if you have a sort of a bad batting average, that could be holding you back towards going towards a cloud-based solution. I think the second part of your question is a really interesting one. You know, are these good reasons? And I'll really let listeners decide. It's really not for me to say on some absolute level, Craig, if something is a good reason or a bad one. I would argue that organizations' decisions hinge really on a number of different factors. And what's good for a tech startup may not be so good for a large hospital or an international corporation such as a Procter & Gamble. So the short answer, I think, is about whether they're good reasons really is it depends.
Well, we've heard some talk about private analytics clouds over the past 6 months or so. Do you think private data warehousing and BI clouds that run inside a customer's firewall are likely to be any more appealing to large enterprises than cloud services that sit outside the firewall?
I mean, it's a great question, and I hate to sound like a consultant, but I think, again, it really depends on the kind of organization, the industry, and in this case, the type of data. Again, an old school sort of traditional hospital is probably going to be very reluctant, and I've seen this firsthand, to put patient information in the clouds when you think of things like HIPAA for privacy or other security concerns. Now, conversely, if you take a small retail organization that already maybe has its feet wet with the clouds or with SaaS, perhaps they already use, say, Salesforce.com already, so they're familiar with it. Maybe their store managers or their district leaders are constantly in stores and they're using portable devices, you know, iPhone, BlackBerry, or something else to slice and dice real-time information. In that case, the risks of public clouds could easily be justified. You're sort of getting, in their opinion, the best of both worlds. Now, to my knowledge, and again, there could be a vendor out there because it's a big universe and, as you know, things change all the time, none of the major vendors is really offering anything in a public cloud, a true public cloud, as someone like Amy Wold describes in the second book. This brings us to sort of the hybrid option that you mentioned about private clouds offered very much by vendors such as IBM. And these private clouds to organizations may be more appealing if they're looking to move away from some of the limitations of on-premise solutions. Now, intelligent people know that all software applications and technologies have their risks. I've never worked on a project in any capacity that didn't have some risk of failure. But regardless of the method, you know, on-premise, private cloud, public cloud, whatever, I'd argue that the only way to completely ensure that your data is safe is just not to put it online, period. And I don't know how realistic that is in today's sort of interconnected world. Ultimately, the question comes down to, are the risks worth the rewards?
Well, one last question. As a systems implementation consultant, what sort of general advice do you have for prospective cloud and SaaS BI users on questions they should ask vendors while evaluating technologies? And then how about some tips on how to get started on and manage projects?
Sure. I've got a bunch. And I think that there are, as I hopefully have made clear throughout the podcast, very compelling reasons to move BI and data warehousing to the clouds or a SaaS-based model. I'm sure that vendors and system integrators will point these out during the pre-sales and the sales processes. But in terms of specific tips, I think that a few things are really critical. First, I think that it's critical to revisit existing data warehouses and BI tools. Are they meeting your business needs? You know, can they move, can the move to a cloud represent an opportunity to improve end users' BI or data warehousing experience? You know, for me, don't just buy the technology and then look for a solution. And I think that it's also critical to move away from sort of the old school BI 1.0 mentality of trying to answer a myriad of individual questions. I think that you can use the advancements in technology to answer much deeper questions. So instead of using your BI tool to answer, you know, 500 disparate questions, ask sort of broader, higher level questions, you know, what's driving customer satisfaction or loyalty, and then see where that takes you as opposed to, well, I just want my report that gives me X, Y, and Z. I'd also ask if the new BI tools allow for analysis of unstructured data and for things like sentiment analysis. You know, as most people know, not all data sits in sort of neatly normalized tables with proper indexes. And there's just a wealth of information out there on the web and blogs, videos, comments, et cetera. You know, can a software vendor handle this valuable information and ultimately turn it into something useful, maybe knowledge? I think that's critical. But on a different level, I think it's imperative to understand that many vendors and system integrators have an incentive to minimize, as I mentioned before, the data quality and cleaning aspects of such a project. Don't just jump in there and throw everything up in the clouds without proper data profiling and modeling. Again, you're just giving people better access to information that doesn't do them any good. You know, give me good data and business intelligence and data warehouses on the ground over bad data in the cloud any day of the week and twice on Sunday. You know, if I could have all good data in the clouds and access it anywhere in a secure fashion at any point, then I'm all ears. But how many organizations can legitimately make that claim in any economy, much less in a challenging one? So hopefully those are some starting points.
Okay. Well, we're running up against the big clock on the wall, so we'll have to leave it there for today. Phil, thanks for calling in and sharing your insight with us.
Craig, thanks for having me.
And as always, thanks to our listeners for joining us. You can find more information about Phil and the consulting services he offers at www.philsimonsystems.com. Be sure to visit searchbusinessanalytics.com for more podcasts, as well as news and trend stories, case studies, videos, and best practices tips on data analytics, business intelligence, corporate performance management, and data visualization. And for similar content on data management, data warehousing, and databases, go to searchdatamanagement.com. Until the next time, this is Craig Stedman signing off.